Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Are you excited to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Oh, I thought we had a wonderful time of worship. Did you enjoy our worship this morning? Amen. It's good to see you this morning, and I trust God is going to bless us in his presence before we leave. Amen. And I also believe that God has a word for somebody this morning, especially for the kind of world we are in now, and with everything happening with our geopolitics and everything, that I believe that God wants to tune our mindsets towards heaven. Because if you put your trust in this earth is actually shaky grounds, because heaven and earth is going to pass away. So God wants us to tune our minds and our focus towards heaven. Amen. I want you to tap the brother or sister sitting by you and say, are you ready for God's word? What did they say? Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads together and share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you're a good God, and we thank you that you assemble us together in your presence this morning to bless us. In the name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord, even as we hear your word, let your word go forth in power. Let it come forth to instruct us. Let it come forth to correct us. Let it come forth to edify us. We may live here knowing that we have encountered you and we have encountered the light in your word. We thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray with thanksgiving. And God's people said, amen. I hope we are safe.
One second, my fault. It is my fault.
Amen.
One moment.
Okay. Okay, so this morning I'm talking to you about something God laid on my heart, that inheriting the promises of God. I want you to preach it to two people sitting next to you and say, inheriting the promises of God. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to come with me to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. From verse 10. I'm reading from the ESV. Verse 10 says, for God is not unjust. King James says, God is not unrighteous, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. Verse 11 says, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness or desire to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12 says that, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit their promises. So he says, I don't want you to be lazy, but I want you to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit their promises. He was talking to believers and he was telling them that, number one, God is not unrighteous. God is a righteous God, and everything he does is right. And so the work you are doing for the saints, in serving the saints, he's not going to forget about all that. But beyond that, I also don't want you to be sluggish. I want you to keep your hope, the assurance of hope, to the end. I don't want you to lose hope. I don't want you to lose heart. And the way you can do that is that I don't want you to be sluggish. Other versions will say, don't be lazy. Turn to someone and say, don't be lazy. Ask someone next to you, are you lazy? This is not me. This is the word of God. He says, do not be sluggish or do not be lazy. And he says, this is how you should not be lazy. He says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Beloved, there are promises that God wants us to inherit. As we go on, you will understand why it's essential to understand this and keep imitating the people who have secured the promises through faith and patience. Now, that word that is translated inherit is a Greek word that literally means to receive a lot. So say we are sharing something and we say, okay, Pastor Herit, this is your portion. Mommy Pom, this is your portion. Baruta, that is your portion. So under no circumstances can I go and say, okay, I want to go and claim that when we were all here and we were sharing and we said, this one belongs to Pastor Herod. So by when we say someone is inheriting, it means to receive a lot, especially to receive a part of an inheritance, receive as an inheritance, and obtain by right of inheritance. So by right, it is yours to inherit, and no one can take it from you. It is the same word you see when you're getting to the end of the age, when he says in Revelation 21, verse 7, that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I want you to take note of this scripture because it's very relevant for all the things we're going to discuss. He says, he that what? He that overcometh shall inherit. He that overcometh. Please take note of that for me. All right. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to briefly talk about God's promises and our inheritance. Of course, this session is too small to try and exhaust all the promises of God in the scripture. I just want to tune it in such a way that you go away from here with a mindset that will keep you on a pedestal and a search for more of God's promises so that you will keep searching it like the people in Berea, where the Bible says that when they heard these things, they went back and searched to see if those things that they had heard were true. The first thing I want you to understand is that when you got born again, the Bible says that you became a child of God. And by extension, you have become an heir of God. We understand that English where when it says someone is an heir. So when we say you are an heir of someone, it means you are the one in line to take over from the person and inherit whatever they have. And God is saying that when we got born again, in Romans 8, 16 and 17, he says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I want you to say to yourself that I am a child of God. And he says that if we are children, then we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Beloved, he says that now that we have become the children of God, we have also become his heirs. What a blessed state to be in, that you are inheriting God. Imagine you were the son or the daughter of one of the very rich people in this our world, like the billionaires, like say Elon Musk or someone. And you are the one next in line to inherit him. How will you feel? Every day you sleep and you are there, you're like, so I'm going to inherit billions. Wow. Because you see the vast property and possession you are going to inherit. And this is even man. Now imagine God himself, who says that the silver and the gold is mine. He says that the heaven is his footstool. And he says that you are his heir. What a blessed state to be in. Amen. So he says that you and I, we are his heirs. And then he takes it further to say, if we are his heirs, then we have also become partakers of his promise in Christ. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should also become fellow heirs and of the same body and should also be partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen. So Paul was trying to say that now, when he in his discourse in Ephesians 3, that now, the mystery of Christ that has been revealed is that it is not only to the Jew, but also the Gentile has been invited to become part of the same body. And all of us have become heirs of God in Christ. And because of that, we have become partakers, participators of his promise. What that means is that any promise that God has given, any promise that God has given concerning his people, his children, now you have become a partaker of that promise. So legally, you can say that God, your word says that I have become a partaker of that promise. So any promise that God has given concerning his children, as you see it from the word of God, you can go to him in prayer and say, your word says that I have become a partaker of that promise. So if I don't see it, you need to start enforcing it because now you have knowledge, you have revelation to say that you have become a partaker of that promise. Amen? And this is the part that I want you to get. Of course, God has a lot of promises in his word concerning the now. All things are yours. You are the head and not the tail and everything. But there is this set of promises that I want your mind to be on. These promises are eternal and heavenly. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, children of God, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Reserved in where? He says, it is reserved in heaven for you. Say to someone, it is reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Beloved, if you believe this, then the way you live your life here on earth will change. Because people can have all the property and money and everything in this life. Trust me, I've not seen any rich man that died and they even carried one of his cars and said, take it along. If he dies and there are no people to take care of his properties, they will begin to corrupt and fade away. But God is saying that there is these promises that he has made available for us in Christ. They are incorruptible. It means it cannot be destroyed. Corruption has no place and power over it. It cannot be defiled and it does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you and I. So even if I don't see the good things I want to see in this life, there is one thing I know and I'm assured of, that God has better promises for me. And he says, it is reserved in heaven for me. And I'm going to inherit that. Praise God. And the good thing too is that every promise of God for you and I, they are yes and amen in Christ. Picture it like this. You see that small picture I've seen over there? In Christ, every promise that God has given concerning us, he's already said yes. So he said, you are the head and not the tail. Before you go and ask God, did you say yes? He won't even finish for you to ask. Yes. Every promise that I have given concerning my people, my verdict is yes. I like how the ISV puts it. He says, for all of God's promises are yes in him, in Christ. And so through him, we can say amen to the glory of God. So essentially, it's like I have gone to stand in front of God to say, God, this is your promise. And he says, yes. And I was like, amen. Let it be so. Let it be fulfilled in my life. Since you have said yes about it, praise God. Let it be fulfilled in my life. Everything God has said, once he has said it about you, his verdict is yes. Now, it is up to you to be able to understand it from his word, begin to claim it and appropriate it for yourself. Amen. Now, the last thing about God's promises and our inheritance is that God has intentionally given us his spirit as a down payment and as a proof that we have an inheritance in him. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14 says, in whom you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. The Bible says that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Understand that the Holy Spirit is one of the promises of God. Jesus spoke about it. He said that, tarry ye in this place for the promise of the Father that's going to come upon you. So even the Holy Spirit is one of the promises that God gives his people. Amen. But this is the interesting part. He says that this promised Holy Spirit, he is the guarantee, the Greek says the down payment of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the glory or the praise of his glory. So more like saying that when God, we got born again and we became children of God, he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And that seal of his Holy Spirit is more like Pastor Harry saying that I'm going to buy this building, but I'm going to go and bring money. I have some 20,000 euros here with me. I'm going to put this down as a down payment. I'm going to the bank. I'm going to bring the rest of the 600 and something thousand just to top it up and then buy this place. This is what God has done. He says, my spirit inside of you is my proof that all the inheritance, everything that I owe, you are going to inherit everything. So anytime you remember that you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, that should be an assurance for you to know that every promise that God has concerning you, he has given you the finest of himself, his spirit, his choicest spirit, he has placed inside of you. So what else will he not give you? But I saw a scripture in Ephesians 1 verse 11, which also said, we have obtained an inheritance. And I asked myself, wait, are we going to obtain or we have obtained? Because someone will finish and come and ask me, oh, If God is saying that we've already obtained the inheritance, what are we waiting yet to go? If he says all things are mine, when next will it become mine? If he says I have eternal life now, why should he say I will receive eternal life again? And this is what I want to give you. We possess the title deed for all his promises now. If he says he's giving you eternal life, you have eternal life in your spirit now. But the time is coming when he wants you to grow and mature to the fullness of time where you will possess everything in its fullness. Hallelujah. Amen. So God will tell you that you have eternal life. He says that you have salvation. But you read the Bible and he says you are also going to inherit salvation. Does that mean that you are not saved now? No, you are saved. But there is a fullness of salvation that is coming where even this, your body will be saved. It will be changed to receive glory. Hallelujah. And that is what God is saying. He's giving you a foretaste of it now so that you will understand what he has in store for you. So that your focus and your attention will not only be here trying to find things in this life, but your attention will be so tuned to heaven so that the way you live your life every single day and every single morning is so that you will be able to attain to that promises, that inheritance he has for you. Hallelujah. So, the simple question I ask, how do we inherit God's promises? He has given us the answer in the scripture. He says we should imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitation is a word that a lot of people don't like. Because most of the time when they hear imitation, they are like, oh, it's a copy that is probably not original. It's maybe a fake copy. But beloved, in this Christian walk, there is a lot of imitation that we do. Paul said that imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ has become an example to us that we are supposed to walk in his footsteps. Do as he did. Say as he says. Because we are learning to become like him. It was said of the disciples that they knew these guys had not gone to any school. But when they looked at the way they were behaving and everything, the Bible said they perceived that these ones had been with the Lord. Beloved, God has called us to imitate things that will lead us to inherit the promise. And he gives us two things that we are supposed to imitate. He says faith and patience. Now, this is what I want to go to. I want to use Abraham as a case study, even as I talk about faith and patience. Because when you look at Hebrews 6, from verse 13, he begins to give an example straight away. He says we should imitate them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And he starts talking about Abraham. So Abraham is a very good case study in the same context as he was talking about. So we want to look at two things, the faith of Abraham, and then also look at the patience of Abraham. It's interesting. Romans 4, 16 to 21 gives us a very good picture of the faith of Abraham. Listen to what it says. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, now listen to this, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, when he didn't have a seed. Verse 19, and he says, and be not weak in faith, he considered, which is also interpreted as, he fixed his eye or his mind. So in other words, he did not fix his eye or his mind on his own body, which was now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He says he staggered or he withdrew not from the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. You look at this passage and you see the faith of Abraham described for you. And I'm going to point them out to you. Number one, when we learn about the faith of Abraham, we see that he did not fix his eyes on his own problems. Verse 19, he said he did not consider the deadness of his own body. Because at that point in time, close to 100 years, and God is telling you that Your seed is going to, your seed is going to inherit the whole nations. And you know yourself that this body, the machine is not firing anymore. The battery of this machine is dead. And you are telling me I'm going to, my seed is going to inherit the whole nations. It is very easy to doubt God because you only look at yourself and you're like, nah, it's not going to happen. With this body, nah, this body is dead. But the Bible says he did not fix his eyes on his problems. He did not consider this body. That is why in our walk of faith, he says that we should look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We are supposed to be living out the faith of Abraham, and that is that faith where we look unto Jesus, not unto ourselves, not unto our problems, not unto our situations. If you look at your situation, you will doubt the promises of God. The Greek actually says, look away unto Jesus. What he's trying to say is that don't be looking at your problems. Look away from it and fix your gaze on Jesus. That is the only way you'll be able to do it. The second one is that he did not withdraw from or desert God's promises when he didn't see results. So the Bible says he did not stagger at the promises of God. The Greek says he did not withdraw from the promises. It is very easy to say, that promise that God gave, maybe it is not for me because I've been waiting for some time and I'm not seeing it, so let me go and find something else. But Abraham was like, I am this old, but I am not going anywhere. If he says it, he's going to do it. The Bible says that Abraham believed in God. When God told him that your seed is going to inherit all the nations, the Bible says he believed in God, even though his body was dead. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. And this is what interests me the most. He was also giving God glory, even in the bad times. In the verse 20. So he was not weak in faith. That is what the Bible says. Giving glory to God. In difficult situations, it is one of the things that is very difficult to do. You are sick, you are weak, and you are believing God to heal you, and you are not seeing the healing. And you are saying, oh, I should be giving glory to God. How is that possible? That, oh, God, I thank you. Even though I'm not seeing the healing, I thank you. God, I thank you. Even though my pockets are dry, I thank you. How? That is the faith that God wants us to walk in, the faith of Abraham. It is the faith that inherits promises. So that I am not seeing it now, my focus is not the now. My focus is on the God who has promised. Amen. And the last one says, he was fully persuaded and convinced in God's ability. He was fully persuaded that he that had promised, he was faithful enough to do it. Beloved, are you fully persuaded? Are you fully convinced that the promises that God has given concerning your life, he is able to fulfill them? That's the question God is asking you this morning. Are you convinced? Are you settled in your heart that this God that promised, he's able to do it? Because if you are not convinced, trust me, situations in life, troubles and persecution can just sway you away from the promise of God. Let's talk about the patience of Abraham and then tie it together and finish. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 15. He says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee, even though he had no son. But God was telling him, I'm going to multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, this is Abraham, the Bible says that he obtained the promise. This is the Greek word that is translated patience. It's also the word for long-suffering. This is what it means to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, slow to anger. The one that excites me the most is to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Imagine yourself as Abraham. Initially, your name was Abraham, meaning exalted father. Now, God comes and he promises and he says that I am your exceeding great reward. And God cuts a covenant with you saying that your son shall inherit all the nations of the earth. And your name is changed from exalted father to Abraham, which is father of all nations. Now, you're going about everywhere. Oh, how are you, Abraham? Oh, no, my name is now Abraham. And people are like, you're telling us you're a father of all nations and you don't even have a son. How are you going to become a father of all nations? And this is what he had to endure. It's like he was bearing a name that was a contradiction to his state. And people will be laughing at you and giggling and talking in your back. He's calling himself Father of Nations, and he doesn't even have a child. But the Bible says that he patiently endured because he knew the one that had promised. He says, I'm a father of all nations. I'm not seeing it now. I don't have a child. But I believe him. Though it tarries, I know he will perform it. So I'm not seeing it now, but I believe him. Beloved, if you are here and you are trusting God for something and you are not seeing it, please don't give up. Do not lose up. Don't lose heart. The one that has promised, he is faithful to his word. Let the world laugh at you. Let them mock you for your situation. But the one that has promised, he is faithful to his word, and he will deliver if you do not lose hope. God himself applies this same word to himself. 2 Peter, verse 3. Peter was talking about people mocking us, saying, when is his coming? You people have been saying, he's coming, he's coming. His son is coming. When is he coming? And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God himself, because of the love he has for man, is exercising this patience, tarrying long, so that men can be saved. Beloved, if you have any situation and you are not seeing answers, don't be bothered and don't be disturbed if you have to patiently endure, because the one that has promised, he is faithful to his word to deliver. Amen. What we learn from this is that do not lose heart in times of trouble or misfortune. When you are not seeing results, please don't give up. Don't lose heart. And do not be quick to avenge or revenge. Imagine Abraham. They calling him father, him saying, my name is Abraham, father of nations. And people are laughing at him and he decides that I'm going to confront them. Because I can't bear it anymore. Because ultimately, it's going to be annoying, frustrating, hearing people laughing and, oh, there he's coming. Father of nations with no son. How will you feel in that situation? But this kind of patience is that strength that you get so that you will be restrained and not be quick to avenge and revenge. Amen. The Bible says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So it's important you understand that he said faith and patience, because patience is the outcome of the trying of your faith. So you need the faith and the trying or the testing of your faith, because when it is done, when God gives you what you are looking for, you will not run away from him. Because God is building character inside of you when you will not run away from him. So in simple terms, we learn that the faith and the patience of Abraham is that he was fixated on God and fully convinced that God was going to do it. Because of that, he gave him glory. And he did not lose heart. And he bore even the offenses of people that would have probably been laughing at him. Bringing it all to an end, maybe you are here and you are believing God for healing. You are here and you are believing God for a breakthrough. You are believing God even for, say, a baby. You are believing that God will come through and perform a miracle for you. The only advice I came to give you this morning is that do not be lazy or sluggish. And God, the way he wants you not to be sluggish is that he wants you to continue persevering in faith and patience, knowing that he that has promised, he is faithful to his word. As soon as you stop doing that, God says that that equals laziness. So God is not talking about you sleeping in your bed for like 18 hours and saying, I'm not getting up, I'm not going anywhere. That is not what God is talking about. He's talking about that situation where you forget about him, putting your trust in him and waiting on him that he's going to deliver, beginning to think about something else outside of these things. And the last thing I leave you with is that let us pursue the example of faith and patience that inherit God's promises. Beloved, when you study the Bible and you see a situation that looks like yours, you need to hold on to whatever the person did. The Bible says Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You are here and you are believing God for a baby and you are not seeing it. Doctors are giving you terrible results, reports that are just contrary to what you are looking for. Look at Abraham. His body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead and fried and gone. But if that womb was able to carry a baby, I don't think any of us here is 90 years old. If you are trusting God, it means God is still able to do it. That is what I want to leave you with. Look, if God was able to do it for me and my wife, He can do it for anyone. Because the report that doctors gave us, I'm a scientist, so when I saw the report, I knew what they were saying, that there was less than 1% chance that we can ever have a baby through a natural way. And now, to the glory of God, Jaden is running around this place and screaming and kicking. Because for 6 years, we're trusting that even though the world says it's not possible, science says it's not possible, but we know a God who has promised, and he says that children are the heritage of God. Children are the blessing that God gives his people. So if God gives these blessings to his people, doctors can give any terrible report. We choose not to look at the report, but look up to God. And we say we will continue to trust in him. Though it tarries, we will still wait. We will not go anywhere. And in the fullness of time and in God's own time, he did it, and he did it beautifully. If you are here and there is something that you're going through, please do not give up on God. Do not give up on God. Do not give up on hope. Because there are promises he wants you to inherit. There are promises he wants you to step into. But don't give up on him. Have faith, and God is going to come through for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please rise to your feet. I just want us to pray a prayer. You are here and you're going through something that you cannot even say to anyone. You're here and you're going through a tough time in your body. You're here and there is a challenge, and you're believing God that God, you need, if you don't step in, all hope is gone. I want you to step forward to the front here, and as a church, we're going to pray for you. I want every eye closed. Nobody's going to touch you, but we're going to believe the power of God to touch you before we leave this place. If God has done it before, he can do it again. He's the same God that did it yesterday. He can do it today. If you are trusting him for something, if it is healing, my God, he has done it before and he will do it again. For the glory of his namesake, he can do it again. In the name of Jesus. And if you are at the back, I just want you to stretch your hands towards the stage. We are agreeing together with our brothers and sisters here, and we are saying that God, do it again. God, do it again. It seems impossible, but God, you can do it. Your promises concerning these ones are good and not evil. God, do it again. People are trusting you for health. God, do it again. In the name of Jesus, people are trusting you for life in their body. God, do it again. People are trusting you with their finances. God, do it again. We release the power of God in this atmosphere this morning. In the name of Jesus, let the healing power of God go forth and touch people. In the name of Jesus, any situation, troubles in marriage, any situation, God, we pray in the name of Jesus this morning, let your power, let your power, let your power, let your power go forth, and all the promises you have concerning your people, Lord, begin to do it now. Every need that is presented in front of this altar this morning, in the name of Jesus, we stand together as a church. We pray that God let answers come. In the name of Jesus, heal, Lord, heal, Lord, heal, Lord, heal, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, touch and bless your people, Lord, this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus, let us go forth from here with testimonies. In the name of Jesus, we will return back to this place with testimonies and songs of praise in our mouth to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Finally, you want to pray for yourself. Even as you go into this week, you want to pray and say that, God, let your promises concerning my life this week, let them come to pass. You want to pray and say that, speak into your week and say that this week I'm going to have a fruitful week. This week is going to be a blessed week for me. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus, we speak into the week. We send forth your blessings into the week. The week will be favorable. In the name of Jesus, we will only walk in the realities of the promises of God for our lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we step into our good and high places. Even as we go into the week, we will be the head, we will not be the tail. In the name of Jesus, the week is blessed, the week is fruitful. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. To you alone be all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly, if you have your offerings, your tithes, please drop them. We want to drop our offerings and tithes before we leave this place. May the Lord be good to you this week. May his hand be upon you. May he strengthen you in all that you do. May you see his face. May his mighty hand work wonders for you. May you have the upper hand this week in everything you do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you for coming. Teas and coffees are also in the MYU. Amen.